And that's probably changed me a little bit. It's all about just as you said, just giving less fucks about things that don't deserve your fucks. And I think that's probably helped me just putting more energy on the things that matter and not worrying so much about things that don't.
Heard you want to leave this place where we grew up, this old town, just put it all behind. Remember you and
well, I prepared one, but go ahead.
Bonjour, and welcome to Axel Shwulululu's podcast. This is going to be the number one podcast, because we're going to talk about life and the meaning of. And today I want to begin with, how was your breakfast smoothie?
Shut the front door. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good whatever, and welcome to the very first podcast episode in 2020. On today's episode, the one and only Laurie Shaw steps by. Laurie is an incredible filmmaker, Mr. Australia 2015, 16, 17, and 2018. He is a lifetime vegetarian and the craziest guy I know. Happy New Year, Laurie Shmory.
Thank you, brother. That's a wonderful intro.
Right? Better than yours.
I feel honored. Yeah, a lot better than mine.
What was the best thing that happened last year?
Oh, man, that's a tough one, huh?
Yeah, I always start with tough ones. People are like, he's going to ask me like something easy. No, bro.
I think looking back, one of the things I'm most grateful for is how much I've learned. I think 2019 for me was the biggest learning year I've ever had. Just from moving around with work, with my work, filming and having connections through that, and I just learned kind of more than I have my whole life in this last year. So that for me is probably the most thing I'm
grateful for. Oh, we start deep. I like that. Yeah. We're going to talk about that later. What was the worst thing that happened last year?
The worst thing. One of the worst things was being in hospital for a week because I had my pancreas attack when I was in Greece, which was a pain.
But when we met in Greece, or?
No. This was actually a few months before when I was working with Sarah Week. But to be honest, there's not a lot of things that have gone downhill. It's been a bit of an uphill, so I feel like 2020 might just curve back down.
I mean, you met me, so you're kind of fucked. We're already talking about bad stuff, so let's talk about the bushfires. I got so much shit for my last post, and you are an Australian, so I want to hear your opinion. Have you read it?
Read it to me.
I'm going to read it out loud for everyone. So, fuck. Like, 6,000 likes, 3,000 shares, and like 300 comments. Okay, the post goes like, 500 million animals died during the bushfires in Australia, and everyone talks about it. Every day, 200 million animals are killed in the dairy and meat industry, but people like bacon too much.
Smack bang on the money.
Was that too much?
I think it's a good question. I don't think it's too much, but I think for people who don't understand or don't think on the same level we do, it could seem like perhaps maybe a better way of wording it would have been to say something nice at the end, like, you know, but I'm proud of us all for, you know, for caring, or it's lovely to see how much people care, something like that, you know. But I don't think the statement in and of itself was too much. I mean, I completely agree with it, as I think many vegans would.
One comment would, like, the comments are either they love it and they totally agree, or it's like I got some of the worst messages I've ever received in my life. Disgusting that you're minimizing the tragedy in Australia. This is very insensitive and inappropriate. I'm sure that if your farm or your family that was affected or died, you would not be posting this.
It's an interesting comment.
Many interesting comments.
Yeah. I see where they're coming from again, I think.
I read my post like 277 times. And before that, I made many posts and I talked about Australia. I did not say that I don't care. I did not say that it's not bad. Of course it's bad that 500 million animals died. I don't know how many people lost their home, but a lot.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing here is the context and the backstory. And I think for people who know you and have seen a lot of your posts, they would know that you do care and you've shown that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could be easy for one person to see just that particular post and feel like it doesn't show enough sympathy for what's happening. But I know that wasn't your intention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, that's just why I think it's very important how we word things. But, okay.
So I didn't attack you as an Australian.
Me, no, because I get the point you're making, and mm-hmm. I agree with it. But I just think, in terms of, I can understand why there may be some people, as I said, who don't think on the same way we do, who could see it more of an attack, and not showing enough sympathy. Mm-hmm. But I know that that's not the case, because I know you have done in your previous posts.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it just is important to remember the context.
Like, the number one argument was, there is such a big difference between like the meat and dairy industry and. Mm. Animals who were like, you know, like wildlife.
Yeah. Which is another interesting one.
We talked about it the other day, how did you call it? I think we call it, like in German, we call it carnism.
Yeah.
Like that, the fact that some people say like...
favor one animal over the other. Yeah. Yeah, it's another really interesting point. And if you look at it like down to the individual animal, there is no difference. Like, I mean, you know, they're all animals. Like, why would there be a difference between a koala and a cow?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the perception that people come at it with is, oh no, but these are wildlife, and they're, some of them are endangered, and you know, and on the other hand, oh, but we breed these animals. Mm-hmm. I don't think that makes it any better,
mm-hmm.
but I just think that that's probably the mindset that some people have.
1,000,000%. I try to find a better way to communicate that.
Mm.
You said you are a lifetime vegetarian. So A, how cool is your mom? And B, how did she manage that? I mean, like, didn't you go to like birthday parties and probably they had like, I don't know what you guys eat in Australia.
Yeah.
Kangaroo meat? Is that a thing? Do you eat it?
Some people do. It's not very popular.
Okay. Because there are some Chinese restaurants, they offer kangaroo meat in Germany.
Yeah.
And
crocodile meat and everything.
Yeah, crocodile. Yeah. Yeah, I ate crocodile.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was not really tasty, to be honest, and I'm not really proud of that. But anyways,
so the question was, how was it growing up as a vegetarian?
Yeah, and how did you like? How did your mom manage that?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Because as a child, it's so freaking difficult.
Mm.
Because most of the people are not.
Yeah, it's a great question. My mum is an absolute legend. She raised us all vegan.
Oh,
and in a
vegan.
Time, all vegan. So we were all raised vegan, six of us, six kids. And this was in a time 20 odd years ago when most people didn't even know what veganism meant. So you can imagine she had a lot of backlash from parents in the community saying, what are you doing to your kids? This is unhealthy.
Uh-huh.
She was even once actually reported to the health services. By another parent because they didn't believe
that. The same happened recently to some friends of mine.
It's crazy, man. Uh-huh. So I'm so grateful for my mum, and I think she did an amazing job and standing up to what, because she studied health and nutrition and she knows a lot about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think obviously she just knew that was the healthiest, best way that she wanted to raise us. And so I'm super glad and grateful for the support I've had from my mum,
mm-hmm.
growing up. For me, as I was young, as you can imagine, being a young kid being vegan, I didn't even really know why I was vegan. You know, I just
That is my next question. Yeah. Like, did she told you like, Laurie, that's the reason why you don't eat that, or did she just say like, you're not gonna eat that?
For me, the main point that she pushed was the health. I think that was really important to her and her kids to grow up as be as healthy as they could. So I knew. For me, that was the main reason as a vegan growing up as a kid, that's why I was vegan, because mum thought it was healthy for me. But I didn't
know. So like 20 years ago, you already like 15 years ago when you were at the birthday party.
Yeah.
You told like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to eat that. I'm vegan.
Yeah.
Shut the front door.
And I got a lot of shit for it. I
can't imagine. Like, we even bullied vegetarians.
Yeah.
Like, it was the weirdest thing. We had like one vegetarian. And she would always bring her like, I don't know if you have it in Australia as well, like Tupperware.
No idea what that is.
So they basically bring their own boxes of
lunch
like food.
Box, yeah.
Yeah.
But man, I got a lot of shit. I remember at one point I had like meat thrown at me, and like people give me shit because like he was this little vegan kid, and people didn't even know what it meant, and I didn't even know what it meant, so I couldn't back myself up. You know, I stood fast to it because I you know, I love my mum so much, and I knew, well, I didn't know, but I thought that she was doing the right thing. I was hoping at least, but. So I didn't feel like, oh, I've got to be like the rest and start eating meat.
Mm-hmm.
But there was many years when I couldn't have any kind of a response to anybody. I was just, I was vegan and that was it. And so it was challenging. So when I did grow up and learn why, it gave me so much power, I feel, that actually went on a whole curve. But yeah, that in itself was a lesson I learned. But it was challenging, man, but I'm so grateful. And I think 100% when I have kids, I'm definitely raising them vegan. It makes it, it's worth it in the long run, I think.
Nice. How about your father?
He is vegetarian.
Okay.
So, but the great thing about him is he was always very supportive. He doesn't for his own reasons, but he kind of never questioned mum's decision about it and was always very supportive about it, which was good.
And do you think the fact that would you say you got bullied?
I would say, I don't know. I mean, it's hard. Like, I don't know if it was bullied as such. Like,
I mean, I
know
if someone throws meat at you,
yeah, I think
that's like
I
one of the.
I was given a lot of shit for it.
Do you think
what you said in Australia? I copped a lot of shit.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think that's the reason why you don't give a damn at all today? Like, that you developed this tummy of like.
Yeah,
I just don't give a damn.
It's a really interesting point.
Because this kind of... I got bullied.
Yeah.
Not for being vegan, because I was the opposite.
Yeah.
But just for being like poor and things of that nature. And I think that's when I developed my tummy of like... Or my ability of not giving a damn.
Mm.
Like, they want to talk? Let them talk.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point you make. And I think... I haven't actually thought about it that way, but my initial thought is that may well be a nurture that has created, you know, my mindset of not really giving too much.
Like, bro, no, you don't give a damn at all. Like, you're a master at this. And your whole childhood was kind of different compared to, let's say, the normal childhood.
I think so.
Tell us a little bit about that, especially like. I still can't wrap my head around the fact that you never watched TV.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have a TV at all.
No, we had one, but we would never watch TV. And then what we would get like one movie a weekend. So on the weekend, we'd sit down as a family and watch a family movie. But like, we never watched TV as a kid during the week. But I mean, I loved it, man. And to be honest, I never really like... I mean, my friends watched TV growing up, but I was never like that bothered about it because I had so much... brothers and sisters, and I'd always be outdoors playing, and like, I don't know, I wasn't too fussed about not being able to sit indoors and watch and look at a screen. So
that's how I spent 50% of my childhood. I either was watching TV or playing football.
Yeah, well, there you go. No, it's good, man. I think I definitely had a bit of a different upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, it's probably one of the reasons.
And did you have?
Why I am like I am today.
Did you have like similar friends?
Similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think the people I connected with were also quite open-minded, outdoorsy, and yeah, liked similar things to what I did for sure.
Yeah. It's funny because you chose to become a filmmaker, even though you never watched TV.
Mm.
Why is that?
I think it's funny, the term filmmaker. I don't know. I don't really know how I would describe myself. Definitely a filmmaker as such, but not. I mean, when someone says filmmaker, I often think of like a big movie maker. You know, like someone who creates big feature films. And that's definitely not what I do. But I just fell in love with filmmaking and creating content as a young kid, just picking up a camera and just filming what we do. And for me, the greatest thing about it was like. Being able to look back and go, wow, like this is what I did yesterday. This is what I did last year. It's such a good way of capturing a memory for me. And I think, and then when I really got serious about it is when I finished school and went traveling for a year. And I took a camera with me and my best mate. We both had our cameras with us and we just filmed everything. And that's when we became really passionate about it, because we realized, like, well, wow, this is such an incredible tool to, you know, not only we can share and share what we're doing with our friends and family, but it's also like literally just capturing memories for ourselves for the future.
Mm-hmm. Talking about movies and like making, would you ever make a documentary?
Yeah, for sure. I think so. I mean, I think that's more in the direction of what I'm doing with my weekly videos at the moment. It's more of like a storytelling video rather than like a, you know, a vlog or
is there like one topic that you have in your head where you're like, that's what I want to do next?
I think there's a lot of people doing it, and I think if I did something like this, I'd have to be very careful about how I did it. But definitely something that helps that spread the vegan message, I think, in a positive way would always be something I'd be interested in creating.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, I haven't given it too much thought in terms of documentary, because I'm just so passionate about what I'm doing with my weekly videos at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Have you watched Game Changers?
Of course, my friend.
How many times?
I watched the premiere with Nima when it
came. Nice! Yeah, you worked with Nima. I totally forgot that. And you rewatched it many times with other people, right?
Yeah. It's very funny, but you're going to laugh at this, but one of my go-to things when I meet a girl and I bring her home is to show her Game Changers. I don't know why, but I feel like something about showing somebody something that is so eye-opening creates a bit of a connection between two people. So it's like killing two birds with one stone. Like, I'm creating a connection with a girl that I like, but I'm also like, you know, helping her in a positive, in what I believe is a positive way. So plenty of times I've rewatched it.
That's a smart idea, actually, because then it's always win-win, you know, like, yeah. If you meet someone,
maybe
you don't like the person, but at least you watched a good exactly. movie, and maybe she's gonna go.
The worst one was when I was this is quite funny actually, when I was in America and we were out one night and we had some girls home, and we all watched, I was with a couple of mates, but we all watched Earthlings together.
What?
You completely just...
Let's be romantic.
Can you imagine that? We were laughing and like...
No, I can't imagine.
Boxing with each other, and then we just sat down and started watching Earthlings, and like, it was silent for an hour.
They weren't vegan?
No.
How, like,
they were horrified. They were both...
That's
like
what I... Guys, that's what I meant when I said Laurie is different. Oh, babe, let's watch something romantic.
Yeah, it actually wasn't my idea to show them, but it was quite funny.
How did they react?
They were, it hit them hard. But I wasn't in contact with them, so I don't know what their gender.
What happened afterwards?
That was the end of the night.
Just wanted to say thank you to the sponsor of today's episode. It's myself. I just launched my online program. If you want to learn how to thrive on a vegan diet, if you want to get in shape in this year, then you have to sign up for the 30 days vegan challenge. In over 25 explainer videos, you will learn how to cover all your nutrients on a vegan diet, because eating vegan doesn't necessarily mean eating healthy. You will learn which supplements you have to use, you get vegan recipes and check, plus shopping list, which will make sure that you're getting all your nutrients. If you sign up now, you can still get the early bird rate. It's only $85, but only if you sign up now. Link in the podcast description and my Instagram bio. Sign up today and now enjoy the rest of the episode. They all cried and went to bed.
I don't think there was too much interest between any of us, really. It was more, and we kind of knew that. That's why we showed them.
Okay, guys. So whenever you're on a date and it kind of doesn't go the way you want, just show Earthlings or do you know Dominion? It's even harder, man.
Yeah. Have you watched that one?
5 minutes, but like...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Two and a half, maybe.
Yeah, man. I find it, like, when I'm by myself, I can't watch them. You know, the only times I've ever watched these ones are when I'm with friends or showing people. Because it's just, like, it's just really sad. That's why I love Game Changers so much, because it's such a different, like, perspective and different angle of...
Yeah, I think it is one of the best documentary. Have you watched Cowspiracy?
Yeah.
I think that's good. You can also watch that without...
Because it's more about the environment.
Yeah, and so. Just the last scene, do you remember where they, like... kill the chicken, but then they, you know what I mean,
and they don't show the actual I don't know.
And then he adopt anyways watch Cowspiracy. How's working with Nima like?
Oh man, it was unreal. It was unreal. Yeah, I really liked him. He was a great guy.
After Game Changers, he exploded. Yeah, yeah. Like, he got the best shout out ever. Yeah. You know, they literally shout his Instagram in the movie. Like, exactly. That's the best shout out ever. And he deserves it so much. Well, I don't know him so well, but I spent a couple of days with him and he's just so freaking, I don't know, just kind.
Down to earth.
And yeah, just.
Yeah, very genuine guy. Yeah, it was wonderful working with him, man. I think we had a good connection and I learned a lot from him. I learned a shit ton from him. He's very
biggest lesson.
He's a very thoughtful man, which is good. I couldn't put a name on one. It was more just of like, you know, a way of being and a perspective of life that he had, which was, you know, which opened my mind a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, he raked it in from the Game Changers in terms of exposure.
Yeah.
So I think he was very happy about that.
I mean, he deserves it. If someone deserves it, then
for sure.
He's like lifetime vegetarian, works so freaking hard.
Mm.
Nimai, if you're listening right now, I love you. Okay, one, before I ask you the final question, it's time for the hot seat.
Okay.
Do you know what a hot seat is?
No idea. I don't really watch TV, so I don't.
I have forgot about it. I ask you 5 questions, okay. And you have to answer them as fast as possible.
Okay, damn. All right.
You ready?
Let's give it a shot.
You want to do a handstand before you do that? Hottest vegan celebrity. The time is running.
Tia Blanco.
Where?
Yeah, you don't know her?
No.
Man, I've been in love with her since I was a kid.
What's her name?
She's like a vegan surfer.
Tia?
Blanco.
Blanco. I have to see her now. She is beautiful.
Alana Blanchard is also beautiful.
Oh, is she from Australia?
You know Alana Blanchard?
No. Yeah, she is beautiful. And she's vegan?
Yeah, bro.
Nice. Following her on Instagram.
She was actually the first vegan like celebrity that I ever knew. Okay. Like, I followed her since I was a kid.
How about Miley Cyrus?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't really follow a lot of vegan celebrities, to be honest, but...
Yeah, fair enough. That's a really good answer. Best vegan food?
Best vegan food is a dish that I had in LA called black truffle lasagna, which was like an orgasm in my mouth.
Most stupid thing you've ever done?
That
shouldn't be difficult for him because he does a lot of dumb shit.
There's been a bit... I don't know, man. Most stupid thing I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Probably trying to jump off a bridge in Sydney.
What do you mean trying?
I got arrested because it was like people commit suicide off the bridge.
And you were jumping. There was like water or something.
Yeah, it's like a. It was like a. I think it was like a 20-25 meter jump. Like, it was a big jump.
Uh-huh.
And there's a highway going across this bridge. So it's a big bridge, and cars are speeding across like 100 kilometers an hour. And me and my friends were standing on the edge. And like, there was a boat waiting down there for us. And my mate jumped. My second mate jumped. I was filming them. I chucked the GoPro down. And I was about to jump. But it was huge. And I was like shitting bricks, man. I was so scared. And then before I know it, suddenly there's like sirens behind me. The cops jump out. They grab me, bring me back over and put me in handcuffs. And then I was like, fuck, that's a bad idea. But I'm going to do it again.
Holy shit.
Set my mind to something. You can't go back.
Holy moly. Best lesson you've ever learned in life?
Oh man, that's a great question. I think best lesson.
Let's start with the worst lesson. How about this? Okay. No one asked for the worst.
The worst lesson?
Yeah. That's even probably harder. Yeah, I think the worst lesson I've ever learned in life, or the worst advice I've ever received in life, was probably by my dad, who said, play it safe, find a secure, like, live a secure life, become a lawyer.
I like that. I think it definitely, in terms of the best lesson I've learned throughout my life, is one that I think has been coming together more and more as I grow up. And actually, that I've learned the most in the last 3 years, because I've been traveling for the last 3 years. And that is, for me, the most important thing is the importance of perspective and keeping an open mind. And I've learned that. That's one of the biggest lessons I've learned traveling. As you travel more, you meet more people. And the more people you meet, the more different perspectives of life you view and you can see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just really opens you up as a person and allows you to see things in a way that other people might not, because they've, you know, somebody who's grown up in one town and stays there their whole life, they see things one way,
mm-hmm.
and they've never really been exposed or had the opportunity to question themselves or see things in a different light. And that's one thing I think is one of the biggest lessons I've learned from traveling, is just, you know, everybody in the world, around the world, has their own perspective of life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think it's so important to keep an open mind. And that I just, for me, that's helped me so much in the last few years.
Would you say traveling gave you perspective?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think I had a relatively open mind growing up, thanks to my parents. But I think traveling for sure really really switched me on and allowed me to see things in a way that I haven't, you know, I'd never really would have thought about before.
Do you have like a specific country in your mind? Whenever I talk about traveling, I always have India really? In my mind.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, India changed me a lot. Or like also Bangladesh.
Oh, wow.
Because if you see like people who are poor,
yeah,
and they are able to be happy, like to be kind, to smile, to not complain, that was like,
yeah,
how do they do that, man?
Yeah, man, I think I completely agree.
Yeah, and what do I complain about?
I think you're right. I think when you go to a place where people, you know, in a less privileged position than we are, that's incredibly eye-opening. For me, Morocco was one, actually. And also LA, funnily enough, because I was in LA, I was often surrounded with people who were thinking on a different wavelength to a lot of people mm-hmm. that I met before, and were, you know, I don't want to say woke, everyone uses that word, but you know what I mean? They were very, I think, spiritual people and people who would think in a different way, and being surrounded by that really opened my mind as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also Croatia, man. I've learned so much through traveling. I mean, I lived there for a few months, but you know, the beauty of the country and the people there are so, like, I don't want to get into it, but
warm-hearted.
Yeah, they're warm-hearted, but they have this barrier, and you can.
So it's like
once you get through that,
a trillion percent. That's them, what I always amazing. Say about yeah. Russian people, because my family is Russian, and I know why so many. Like, I don't want to. It's a weird stereotype, but many people have the belief that Russians are really cold.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah,
but
once you once
you get to know them, once they're part of the family, like my friends will tell you the opposite. Whenever they entered my home, my grandma took care of them.
Yeah,
like you get so much love, but you have to become part of the family. I don't know why. Yeah. But yeah, breaking the stereotypes. You should really go to India.
I should, man. It's definitely towards the top of my list. My grandfather lived there for 10 years, and he's spoken nothing but, you know, highly about it.
I mean, there is a lot of bad stuff going on,
but
I think more beautiful stuff.
Mm.
It really depends where you go.
Is it very similar or dissimilar to Indonesia?
Completely.
Is it?
Yeah. India has like big, big cities like Delhi. You will never, like, there is nothing you can compare to that.
Mm.
That's like a different planet.
Would you recommend going to Delhi, or is it not worth it?
I wouldn't recommend to travel because it's bad for the environment. But I think every human should at least see it. Yeah. Either go there if you have the opportunity and you're maybe there anyways. Watch my vlog or Larry's vlog when he goes.
I've heard Rishikesh
Rishikesh place. Yeah, they have many spiritual, beautiful places, really quiet places. Like, India can be super busy, but it can be also super quiet and spiritual. And I remember once I went to this guy, he's like a holy person in India. His name is Alu Baba, which means Alu is potato, and Baba, I think, I don't know, potato don't quote me on that. Anyways, this guy is only eating potatoes, like every day, 24/7. And he smokes a lot of weed. And it's just so funny, like, you go to this temple, kind of, he's sitting there meditating, and you can just talk to him, and yeah, it's incredible. And India just gives you so much perspective about life in general, how little you actually need in order to be happy. And I just, like, I've traveled through India like three months in trains, buses, like really like a local, I haven't heard a single complaint about life.
Mm.
And if you go to Europe, just spend 5 minutes in a bus, and you will hear like 27 complaints about the weather, our hard job, and things of that nature.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Is that 5 questions?
No, we have one left, but I don't think that you shared the worst lesson you've ever received.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think probably the worst lessons I just forget, because I don't think they're very good. So I don't. It doesn't come to me. I'll
good
have to
point.
Get back to you on that one.
Good point, good point. Hummus or avocado? And be really careful.
Hummus, man. Because I've grown up like devouring hummus. I would spoon hummus out of the tub.
Uh-huh.
So I have to go with hummus. But I do love avocado, so it would be hard to take one of them out of my life.
Okay. I'll accept this answer. Last question. Imagine you own the New York Times Square for 20 minutes. Like, it's yours. You can do whatever you want and spread your message. What would you show? What would you do?
That's such a great question.
Bro.
And maybe show Game Changers.
You have 20 minutes, bro.
I think... that's just... Man, you'd have to do some good research to make the most of those 20 minutes, wouldn't you? But I think in the time of the world that we're living in right now, I think...
Mm-hmm.
I do honestly think the vegan message is so important, mm-hmm. you know, above so many things at the moment, and coupled with climate change. So probably something along those lines
mm-hmm.
would have to be. But I mean, 20 minutes, yeah, you'd have to.
You would spread your
neatly pick.
You would spread,
and then on. I guess yeah, across the whole thing, it would definitely say Laurie_Shaw.
But would you try to do it in like a positive way, like Game Changers
yeah,
does?
Yeah.
Or
sure.
would you go like,
no,
I don't want to say like something bad about Dominion or
yeah.
these kind of movies, but I don't know if I would.
I mean,
do you know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying. And that's one thing actually that I learned from being with Nimai, is that I found that for me at least, and for him, you know, the lesson he taught me is that the most effective way to create change is to lead by example and to show the positive outcome rather than the negative effect,
mm-hmm.
you know. So instead of showing the sadness of the slaughter, show the benefits and the positivity that comes from not contributing to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one lesson I learned from being with him, is that has for many people. And obviously everybody's different,
mm-hmm.
and there'll be some people who need to wake up by seeing the sad stuff. But I think as a consensus in general, for many people, they can be a lot more inspired and motivated to make change when they feel positive about something, you know, which is why I think the Game Changers system is so good, because people walk away with a positive outlook, thinking, wow, I can look like that if I eat more plants, and feeling motivated, rather than maybe they watch something like Dominion and it makes them really sad. And then what happens when we're sad? We want to close off and we want to stop thinking about it. You know, you don't want to be sad, so you don't want to think about the thing that makes you sad. So it's very easy then to watch that and then just to shut it off and not give it too much thought, because it's an upsetting thing to think about,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is why I think it's so powerful to create change by, as I said, by leading by example and showing, you know, the positive aspects.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I think we need both. Like, there are just some people
sure.
who need this strong slap in their face
mm.
of like, this is what happening, slaughtering, or like you can combine both. I did both. Like, I first watched Cowspiracy and then I watched stuff like Dominion and things of that nature.
I think I couldn't agree with you more, man. I think everybody wakes up differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people like Joey Carbstrong are wonderful, because we need people like that, because he has an incredible impact on some people. You know, but then there's other people like James Aspie, who's a lot more of a peaceful approach, who will also have. And I think, you know, you need all of that, because everybody's different and everybody takes a different, you know, learning curve.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Yeah.
What's your biggest mission for 2020?
Is to inspire others to get out of their comfort zone and to push themselves a little bit, to challenge themselves. That's what my weekly videos are all about. I really want to grow that. I'm really passionate about that at the moment. So that's my biggest mission, is to full speed ahead.
Nice. Beautiful.
Yeah.
If you've listened till now, first of all, thank you. And then share it on social media. Take a screenshot, tag Laurie__, right?
Yeah. That's it.
Sure. Also put the link down in the description below and tag me so that we can say thank you, Laurie.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks for being here. Happy New Year.
Yeah, thank you to you too. Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for being you. You inspire me a lot. Well, like, sometimes you annoy me.
Yeah, I can see.
I think a lot about you and your perspective, because I grew up in a country where we have a lot of strict rules. Mm. And if you do things differently, you get judged. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like if someone would play music like really loudly right next to me, I would feel uncomfortable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I think of my neighbor who's gonna go complain.
Yeah, I understand.
But then next moment I'm like, actually this Laurie, you know, he's right. Like, care less. I always thought that I would care less about the opinions of others, and I do. But sometimes I don't. And
have you heard about the book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck?
I heard of it, but I haven't read it.
Yeah. And that probably changed me a little bit. It's all about just as you said, just giving less fucks about things that don't deserve your fucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably helped me putting more of my energy on the things that matter and not worrying so much about things that don't.
Nice.
And that probably changed me a little bit. It's all about just as you said, just giving less fucks about things that don't deserve your fucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably helped me just focus, putting more of my energy on the things that matter and not worrying so much about things that don't. But yeah, thanks for having me, man. I hope for one day to look like you and Greek
God. That was the best end ever. I see you here in a couple of days. Bye bye. River's gonna cry when you're gone. Here.